Good evening, everyone, and welcome to tonight's AHC meeting. Can I just check before we start that everyone at home can hear me okay?
Yes, can indeed.
Okay, so we'll make a start. I would like to welcome everyone to the meeting. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are switched off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would like to remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber or hang up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except for councillors considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, either in the chamber or via Teams, to use the chat facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. I would like to remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question, or C for a comment, P if you wish to propose, or S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using the instant messaging. If you need to leave the meeting early, please indicate via the chat facility so that we are aware that this is an active decision and does not indicate connectivity problems. Okay, folks, so if we're content, we'll move on to item number one, which is apologies and chairperson's remarks. Any apologies? Councillor Lewis, you've got a comment?
Thank you. Just an apology for Councillor Jackson, please.
Okay, so item number two, declarations of interest. Okay, no one has indicated a declaration of interest. We'll move on then to item number three, which is the action sheet from the Active and Healthy Communities meeting held on the 16th of October 23. So we'll go through it page by page. So item or page number one, page two, page three, page four, and page five. Councillor McMurray, you have a question? Andy, just one second. Will I switch mine off?
Yes, you said you. Okay. Sorry, gentlemen there. Chair, it's on the action sheet there. It's on the DFC Living High Street funding, but it's not actually on that. So I appreciate that's in committee item, but say it's more regarding the Newcastle Centre. Is it okay just to ask away? Is that or it's not a financial matter? Is that okay?
Yeah. Oh,
that's great. No, it's just It was commented on the last meeting, and everyone's very supportive of it. But just has any thought just been given to how the site will be used, and then especially access? You know, just given the pedestrian access, will it be through the centre into the site? Will it be through the car park into the site? Will it be through the back gate into that site? Or will it be all three, perhaps? You know what I mean? Just to give a wee bit of thought about that. And then again, in connection to the Newcastle Centre itself, just is there any update? I know there's been a much wanted business case about the leisure centre. I'm just wondering, is that ready to go yet, or is there any word of it yet, Chair? Just those 2 points, please. Thank you.
Hey, Paul, are you happy to?
Through the chair. Listen, the Newcastle Centre, the Living High Street funding that you're referring to. Is, I suppose it was outlined in the paper, it's about flexible space enabling works. Part of that funding is also about linkages, if you like, to the high street or air access. It's anticipated we'll be improving pedestrian access to out the back there, and looking at a range of options. It's probably seen as a bit of a standalone situation, so the site could be utilised when potentially the Newcastle Centre is not open. And so that's probably the things that we're looking at. We're still, you know, haven't got confirmation of that funding or anything like that yet. We've still got a bit of a process to go through, but broadly, yes, we'll be looking at improving pedestrian access to out the back there. Hopefully that answers your query. In relation to the Newcastle Centre, we're still reviewing the outline business case that needs to be put forward, and we're working through that process and ensuring it's as robust as we can. We know that, you know, things like external funding have a very rigorous process, and so we're ensuring that our outline business case for that project is as robust as it can be, and we're hoping for something bring forward in the new year in relation to it.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Content. Councillor Murray with that, yeah? Okay, so we'll move on there. Anita, sorry, opposer and seconder for the action sheet. Happy deck our Councillor Murphy to that. Okay, thank you, guys. Okay, so we'll move on to item number 4, which is the notice of motion on leisure centres, and that was taken by Councillor Hanlon. Councillor Hanlon, do you wish to speak to your motion?
Thanks, Chair. We took a notice of motion in July 2023, so the Council recognises that in the aftermath of COVID, our local leisure facilities and services across the district are experiencing a number of significant challenges. We note that residents and service users are not getting the services or access to the facilities that they are entitled to, and we call for an urgent and robust review of the plan and management and delivery of Newry Morning Down leisure services to be undertaken in order to sustain an operation model that meets the needs of service users, ratepayers, and supports council staff in their ability to deliver
first class service.
So,
just
one of the reasons Hello? Okay. So one of the main reasons that this notice of motion was presented to Council was in relation to feedback that we were getting from service users and residents locally right across the district, so looking at Newry, Coquille and Downpatrick leisure facilities and Newcastle. So there was feedback that basically classes were being closed or cancelled at the last minute. The vitality pill was taking a while for the changeover of water, so it was having to be closed for a robust or a length of time. Given that these challenges kept being presented to ourselves, we wanted to bring this notice of motion to give it the attention that it deserves. So I'd welcome the officer's report because I know it's quite detailed, so we can just maybe hear what the outcome of it is.
Thank you for that, Councillor Hanlon. Paul, are you happy to come in?
Yes. Through the Chair. I'd like to thank Councillor Hanlon for bringing the report. Understand, I suppose, the reasons, rationale why it was brought forward. As you've mentioned, we've put a lot of detail into the report to hopefully give members as robust a view of the service at the moment moving forward. One of the key challenges, I suppose, that we've got at the moment are in relation to staffing challenges and delivery and ensuring that we're reaching a level of service delivery that the public feel are acceptable, but also management feel are acceptable. It's probably a bit of a root cause around staff challenges, but we're working on trying to improve that. A lot of it's around lifeguarding. We've recently done a number of 5 NPLQ courses in the last 6 months. As part of that, we had a recent recruitment for lifeguards, and we had 25 applications, and we've had 17 appointments. However, those 17 appointments have all come, I suppose, from people who have completed our National 4 lifeguard qualification, which is great, and it seems like that system's working, albeit only 3 of them were interested in permanent roles. A lot of them are interested in casual roles. I suppose it gives people a wee bit more flexibility, and so it's probably a bit reflective of the workforce at the moment as well. And so that's, whilst it's still positive that we've had that many applications moving through, it still gives us a bit of a challenge because we're, you know, finding hard people to take on permanent work, which allows our structures to be a wee bit more robust. So in terms of those, we're still working through those challenges, and I suppose we're confident that will eventually hopefully overcome those challenges with some of the work that we've been putting in place. And it's not, I suppose it's not only a leisure-specific issue, it's a council-wide issue, and I know there's a lot of other industries that are experiencing similar workforce challenges. In terms of a vitality suite, it is a water quality management issue that we're responsible legislatively-wise to adhere to. And that's why we have the closure on the Monday at the moment. We're working at alternatives in terms of how we can improve that. But any of those alternatives will need to come with an independent side-off from water quality management consultants to ensure that we're ensuring that we're adhering to legislative requirements around that. So we're still working our way through that process, and hopefully we can get a resolve to that in early in the new year as well. In terms of classes, members may recall last month we brought a paper around a program delivery partner, and which was ratified this month. We're now working through the procurement of that process, and hopefully again in the new year we can see, hopefully get an appointment for a program delivery partner that will help with our, if you like, sustainability and succession planning around coaches and delivery of classes. And in relation to opening hours, I think certainly there's an opportunity certainly for us to look at widening our opening hours for our service. However, given our current situation around industrial relations, we're working through that process. However, once that process is complete, and my understanding is that we're certainly nearing a broad agreement on that, and I'm sure members will be updated on that in due course, that we can move forward on such matters. So, except that, you know, we're not quite where we need to be in terms of that service, but we're certainly with progress. And I suppose the paper also outlines a number of really positive things that have happened, I suppose, post-COVID, and a lot of work that officers and management have been doing and staff to continue to try and improve services.
Thank you for that, Paul. I see I have a proposal here from Councillor Finnegan, seconded by Councillor Kate Murphy. Do either of you wish to comment? Are you happy with? Okay. Councillor Devlin, you're looking to come in and comment? Go ahead.
Oh, working out, yes. Yeah, thank you, Chair, and thanks to Una for tabling that motion. I know that we have the recruitment issues district-wide. I'm thinking particularly in terms of Kilkeel. Paul knows only too well the many conversations and meetings that we've had in respect of Kilkeel. And the problem as well is, in the eye of the ratepayer and people out there, they don't see this detail and the problems that we have, which we do know aren't just relevant to council and leisure services. It's right across the district. There was just one question I was hoping to ask, Chair, in terms of the report that was put forward there on the second page. I know that it mentions staff and challenges in our HR department. I suppose that does worry me, because that's sort of the glue that keeps things together and allows the advertisements to go out and different things to happen. So I'm just worried, is that a long, is that something I could ask at this stage? Is that being resolved, or is that outside of this?
Sorry, thank you, Councillor Devlin, for that. We'll actually be discussing that maybe a little bit more in depth now. We're going to go into closed session just to discuss the appendix one. So perhaps Paul will be able to come back in on that after. Is that okay? Or just what this, what that was in relation to. Councillor Finn, you want to comment?
Yeah, mine is hopefully something that Paul might be able to answer, just in relation actually to the booking of, I suppose, birthday parties within Uri Leisure Centre. And I've had a couple of people mention that they've tried to call on a number of occasions, and that there's not really, if someone doesn't answer the phone, it's very difficult for them to actually use that facility. And as we know, parents are super busy and will then, I suppose, choose to go elsewhere, and that potentially then is losing revenue. I just wonder, is there anywhere that that can be done online, or is there another facility that we could maybe be directing them to ensure that if they are looking to use the facility, that then they're able to get that sorted quickly?
Yeah, through the chair, I suppose even if they do get through to a receptionist, etc., they'll have to complete a booking application form. Usually a lot of that's done via an email address and people, I suppose, requesting that via an email. So what I'll do, if you don't mind, Councillor Finn, I'll pick up with you outside of this and clarify that email address for you, and that should all happen a wee bit quicker.
Okay, Councillor Hammond, would you like to come back in just before we move on to the next?
I think overall this is a positive report, and I thank the officers for the detail that they have included into it. I think it is just a basic need in the district to have like a fully functioning leisure facility. I welcome that there will be partnership agreements. You know, if internal staff can't deliver what is needed, then we should be reaching out to see, you know, what other innovative ways we can deliver the classes. So I think the public will welcome that if they can see the outworkings of the classes being, you know, obviously extended or whatever it may be. In particular, I like the review of the summer activity plans as well. As a parent myself, I remember during the summer, you're always looking for something for them to do. And I think that the fact that they've been able to extend, the staff have been able to extend out summer programmes to upward of 15,000 participants is just really, really good, and a really good use of resources within the council. I looked as well at the referral schemes for gyms and medical conditions, and the fact that the council had made it less bureaucratic to allow people to avail of those. I think they're all very, very positive. And I look forward as well, and also on further down into the agenda, for the autism swimming tuition, you know, that we would be able to start to see the rollout of that. So all in all, a really good positive report. I do still think that we need to look at the opening hours, because that's the number one thing that's being brought to me. But hopefully now, with this being in the system and officers giving it attention, we will be able to see the outworkings of that. So thanks very much, Paul. Appreciate it.
Thank you for that, Councillor Hamlin. If everyone is in agreement, we'll maybe go to item number 4, Appendix 1. I know it's in closed sessions, but just somewhere on this topic, if everyone's content enough, we can go into closed session now to discuss that matter. So item number 4 is... what would you prefer to do? Do you just want to continue on with the rest of the meeting or discuss this now when we're on this subject of the...
closed session.
Are people content enough to wait then? We'll go into closed session once. Is that okay? Yeah. All right. Okay, thank you. So we'll move on to item number 5, which is the DEA Electoral Area Forums Update Report, and that's yourself, Ali.
Thanks, Chair. I'll take the report as read unless members have any specific issues they'd like to raise.
Okay, thank you. Has anyone else... anything they'd like to raise, or can I have a proposer and seconder for those papers, please? And Councillor Finnegan has seconded. Okay, thank you. We're content. Then we'll move on to item number 6, which is the Community Coordination Hub update report, and that's again yourself, Ali.
Thanks, Chairs. The report is to note and agree the approved actions. I'd just like, with your indulgence, just to update members in terms of the emergency meeting that we held of the Community Coordination Hub during the recent flooding. One of the things that came out of that, we had a drop-in centre in Newcastle, and the people who attended that were quite interested in a meeting with statutory agencies. And we had a meeting internally, and it transpired that there is within Newcastle a community resilience group, which includes membership from the various statutory agencies. It appears to have weakened in terms of the public membership. So I plan to meet in the next few weeks with the public members of that group, and to ascertain what their current membership is and how we might bolster that, and then work in conjunction with the other statutory agencies. We feel there's a lot we can do from a DEA perspective to link in more closely with the community on the ground and provide a link to the other statutory agencies. And we'd like to know from the people on the ground where the deficits are in information. and how we can better assist people to help their communities, because very often they'll be the first people to respond when there is an emergency, whether it be a flooding or another type of natural disaster. So it's just really to advise that although we're in the recovery stage of the flooding, I think there are lessons to be learned and there are things we can do to improve things. We would hope by January to have a more effective community resilience group in the Newcastle DA area and then to replicate that out in the different DAs. And I would hope that these groups could all speak to each other and we could, you know, improve how we respond to incidents like this going forward. So it's just by way of update and information for members. I'm happy to take any questions. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Ali. I see Councillor Murphy, you're looking, you're happy to propose. Do you wish to comment?
Yeah, just like to say that the DAA that I work in, that's some of the people have already availed of the hardship funds, you know, people that were directly affected by the flooding. And I do welcome, you know, the work in progress that you have going with the different agencies. You know, Water, NI Water, Rivers Agency and DFA, sometimes you get the runaround, you know, from one agency to the other. But I think it's really, really important to know that we've requested that we see the various agencies on the ground. They need to come out to speak to at least the elected reps in the area to explain how, you know, what mitigating factors that they're going to produce to ensure that we don't, you know, because we know that some of the flooding, that there is something you can do about it. You know, it's doable, but I've yet to see some of the work on the ground happening. That doesn't mean that people aren't working behind the scenes, but, you know, we still need to get that communicated to us and give us an opportunity to speak to people on the ground as well. You know, so I do welcome the work of the Hub, you know, and that's why I'm proposing recommendations.
Thank you for that, Councillor Murphy. Councillor McGuinness, you're happy to second?
Yeah, happy to second, Chair, and just like to agree with everything Councillor Murphy just said there, so happy to second.
Thank you. Councillor Devlin, you wish to comment?
Yes, Chair, thank you. Thank you, Ali, for that. I suppose just what you mentioned, that was back, I think it was August 2020, during my year as Chair of Council, that I set up along with DFI Rivers, the Community Flood Resilience Group in Newcastle, and that was actually really, really useful. And we had, it was led by DFI Rivers, I think it was Kelly, maybe within Council, was the lead officer that was involved then, and it brought together the people who are affected by the floods, obviously, in the back of that. Then we got some of the sandbag containers, the locations of those in Newcastle. That's definitely we need to revisit. Because I think at the time, we had wanted the sandbag container to be in Islands Park, but at that point, Islands Park was on the floodplain, which it isn't now because of the Shimla scheme. So definitely that's something, and actually I spoke to Seamus, the officer in Rivers Agency, last week about getting that re-established again. So I'm going to approach Kelly within Council to see if we can get that going again, because that would be something that would be really useful. And it was also useful because the officers came along, spoke to the effect and listened to the residents, DFI Rivers. They really did listen to the residents at the time and give them some comfort in terms of what support was there. They then got obviously the flood alerts sent to their phones. There was also then there was the sandbag locations and also information regarding the flood re-scheme. A lot of people aren't aware that there is a scheme that's been set up that's subsidised by government that does assist with the costs of if you're not allowed to be insured, if no one will insure you or your insurance is absolutely crazy, the scheme's out there that is subsidised by government. It's an English scheme but the Northern Ireland residents can tap into that our government also supports as well. So just real practical stuff came out of that, and I have to say that my experience of that group from August 2020 was a really positive one. In the midst of all the sadness and everything that happened around that, it was definitely something that was positive. But the issues we have now is a lot of the residents back then, they've been protected by the Shimla scheme. Unfortunately, this time then we had the burden scheme. So it's definitely something I think, Chair, we need to get reinvigorated again to see how we can move on from that. So that will be a proposal. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Councillor Devlin. I have to agree with you like that. It is a good, you know, a good programme and a good facility to have. It just needs to be rolled out and replicated, I suppose, right across the 70A. So, yes, absolutely. I think we can take on board your comments. Thank you, Councillor Devlin. Okay, so for content, we'll move on then to item number 7, which is the service level agreement with the Education Authority. And that's yourself again, Ali.
Thanks, Chair. The report, Chair, is self-explanatory. What we're looking for is funding for an SLA between Council and the Education Authority. to enable the Youth Voice MMD to hold a yearly flagship event. The funding will be provided on the back of an SLA, so the money will be ring-fenced to this specific project, and will be subject to funding being made available through the estimates process. Thank you.
Thank you, Ali. Councillor Finnegan, you have a want to propose and you wish to comment as well. Go ahead.
Yes. Yeah, and just having to propose, very quick comment. Just, I think this is a brilliant. This is me again. I think that's enough. Yeah. So, no, happy to propose. Just a quick comment, Ali. Thanks for that. I just think this is brilliant because it's bringing young people together to build their skill and confidence and empowering young people. And look, that's what we all want. And I suppose this is to explore their ideas and their skill set. And we need the youth to take stake in the society and become more involved in the civic society. And I just was reading the report and I see that there was a good uptake in the recent events, workshops and engagements. I suppose this will allow then for that to continue and hopefully expand. Really happy to propose. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Finnegan. Councillor Galbraith, you have a question?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Thanks, Ali, as well, for putting things right for me in my own mind and changing the direction where I was going to go tonight. Totally agree with Councillor Finnegan as well there in relation to what the benefits are for these type of events. I suppose my only concern was that the Education Authority has cut funding from the voluntary sector of recent and caused great distress, and we're going to be entering into a financial agreement, I suppose, with these guys. I'm just wondering, would it be possible to request a review after year one to ensure that, you know, that they are spending the money in the best possible manner to achieve the best possible outcomes for our young people? And also, I noted in the last wee report that they sent along for this, that the groups attended the last conference. It would appear that the voluntary sector was quite minimal. And can we sort of have any input as to, you know, making sure that the voluntary sector is much more involved, if there are any other yearly events that Youth Voice organise? Thanks.
Thank you for that. Ali, would you like to come back in?
I take on board Councillor Galbraith's concern regarding funding the Education Authority, but as I say, it will be done under an SLA, and I'm happy to undertake to report back on how the money was spent to the committee, and also undertake to look at how we promote and advertise the event, and, you know, use our existing community voluntary channels to get the, you know, get the message out and get as good an attendance as possible. So thank you.
You can help with that, Councillor Galbraith. Yeah. Okay, and Councillor Lee Sargent, you're happy to second? You wish to comment?
Basically, yeah, I echo the words of the other two councillors. I've seen firsthand the amazing work that the Education Authority does every day with our youth all over, especially in Rowallan. They go above and beyond every time, and yeah, I'm going to praise them. So yeah, they're amazing. So thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Researcher. Okay, so if we're content, we'll move on to item number 8, which is the All Island Community Safety Network. And I'll speak for yourself again, Ali.
Thanks, Chair. This is a good news story that funding has been obtained to fund a network which will share best practice in community safety with a number of partners. €30,000 has been obtained for that purpose. So a bit of a good news story. Can I also take the opportunity to advise members that the process for appointing independent members of the PCSP has reopened. We haven't reached the quota of members. We've achieved 14 applicants where we require 15. But obviously, we would like as many independent members on the panel as possible. So if people drop off, then we have substitutes and to keep the kind of robustness of that body by having that independent representation. So just to encourage members, if you are aware of anyone who is interested, to encourage them, please, to apply. And as I say, make that as robust as possible. Thank you.
Thanks, Juan. Ali, Councillor Murphy, you have a comment?
Yeah, and I was just going to say, definitely welcome the report. You know, it's a good sign that's, you know, the PCSP is able to go to other areas, especially on a cross-border basis, you know, and bring the experience that we have had to another county council. I know they have JPCs in the south, but they're not, it doesn't cover the same amount of work with regards to community safety as the next PCSP would. You know, so it definitely is a good step in the right direction. But the other aspect to it, cross-border, and this is where it really sort of sinks in, you know, on community safety for myself, is that the most recent break-ins that we have had, you know, in the Sluagh-Cullandy, one was a commercial premises, and it's by a gang that targets commercial premises from the south. And the other one was a senior citizen's house. And again, it's a gang that actually targets senior citizens. And again, it's a cross-border criminal gang. You know, so the more cooperation that we have, you know, and it's good to see both PSNA and Garda Síochána, the DOJs, North and South, all supporting this initiative. You know, but I think, you know, it's win-win for everybody. You know, that's, you know, more cooperation, you know, in trying to protect, you know, our communities and create community safety. And very much welcome this, and you know, hopefully it can be extended, you know, to other areas. And we also welcome the fact that it was the DOJ, I think it was, from the south that provided the €30,000. So happy days. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Murphy. Are you happy to propose then?
Yeah. Sorry, I'll propose it.
Councillor Lee Sarcher.
Thank you, Chair. Quick question. Is there a specific DEA that you're needing the PCSP applicant to be from, and who do they send interest to? Are you to yourself or?
No, it's the recruitment process is actually being run by the casing board, not council, but it's just any members of the community within the Newry Morne and Down district. Thanks.
Okay, and Councillor Lee Sarcher, you had a PN, but Councillor Murphy, so you're happy to second then? Okay, so proposed by Councillor Declan Murphy and seconded by Councillor Lee Sarcher. Thank you. Okay, now we're going to move into a closed session. So items number 4.1, or appendix 4.1, items 9 and 10 will be taken on closed session. Items number 9 and 10 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of the Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information, and the public may be by resolution excluded from this item of business. The public may be by resolution excluded from this business. So good, too good, I read it twice. Okay, can I have a proposer and a seconder to go into closed session? Councillor Galbraith and Councillor O'Hare. Just give us a few minutes. Thank you. The following was agreed whilst in closed session. Item number 9, Access and Inclusion Funding. It is agreed on the proposal of Councillor Mahers and seconded by Councillor Devlin to approve the following. Successful funding bids to the DSC Access and Inclusion Fund, a public tender and appointment to complete the works outlined in the Access and Inclusion Funding application, and to approve the business case for this public tender as per Appendix 1 on Council's procurement policy. Item number 10, Sport MI Community Planning Investment Programme. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Kate Murphy, seconded by Councillor Finn, to approve the successful funding bid to Sport MI's District Council's Community Planning 23-24 Investment Programme. That concludes our meeting for tonight, folks. So thank you very much for everyone for attending, and safe home to those that are in the chamber. Thank you.
Thank you.